Welcome back, folks. Mountain West Wire podcast, officially week one of the college football season. We already have three games in the books, but we have a full slate this weekend. As always, you know who's here. I'm Jeremy Moss, Matt Kennerly out there in California. You ready? You finally ready for a full weekend of 12 games?
Let's do this.
It's a lot. It's I'll watch more than 12. Well, we'll see, but I'm excited. There's a lot of good games this weekend. Well, maybe we'll pump the brakes on that, but half the slate is pretty good.
Well, even some of the FCS games have a little bit of intrigue. We'll get to all of them, rest assured. But, you know, there's something I think to look forward to for every fan base this weekend.
It's week one. You have to. People already played. But, yes, this is – the season is here. We don't have just a couple games throughout the weekend. We have Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, Labor Day weekend, the long weekend of games. You got Monday Night Football. You got Alabama, Florida State for some non-conference action. When you're not watching, say, Nevada, Northwestern, or we got Hawaii late night playing Western Carolina, midnight Eastern on the app. You can view it on the mainland, folks.
Yes.
Finally. So before we get going, we have some breaking news here. We're going to discuss
esports.
Just real quick. Boise State has now joined a list of major universities to approve a varsity esports program. So, for those who don't know, which I don't really know, I know a little bit about it. Do you want to guess? I bet you can name this offhand. Do you know the five games are going to offer
I saw the headline a few minutes ago.
The ones I remember
off the top of my head are League of Legends, which I know nothing about.
Yes.
Rocket League, which is easy to learn, difficult to master, and super fun.
Exactly. That's a great way
Overwatch,
to describe it.
Which I am totally all about. And then I forget the other two.
Hearthstone?
Overrated, but that's
sure. And Heroes
which
of the
I know
Storm.
Nothing about.
I know Rocket League because I got it recently. I'm attempting Overwatch, still much a novice, so don't try to find me to play me online, but I'm getting there. But there you go. Why not? If you can get money to go to school to play video games, why not, right? And one thing I did notice, an interesting tweet. Some college, I think he's like Eastern Iowa, basically calling people a bunch of wussies because there's esports is now. He doesn't know what he's talking about because he says they dropped wrestling for esports. Technically you have that varsity code name with it. It's not really a Title IX sport or a varsity sport as in adding, like Boise State's probably going to add baseball. It's not like that. It's just a scholarship. It is an e-sport, but activity similar to, I would assume if you're like on the choir or drama, like you're part of the team that or the group that performs plays or the marching band or something like that. That's more attuned to what esports is compared to
athletic sports. I was a little bit lukewarm at first when it was starting to emerge, but I've kind of come around on it a little bit. Like when we were in Vegas last month for our USA Today conference, getting this site set up, you know, the very next day was a 3-day fighting tournament that's been around for well over a decade. And, you know, that's just one kind of arena. You have all these different kinds of games now, which, you know, is a sport in the sense that they require a different kind of skill set. It's, you know, I consider it a little more like chess or, you know, something that's a little more mentally driven or reaction driven than a lot of other games. So it's not a sport in the traditional sense where it relies a lot on physicality.
It's like golf. You're telling me this is like golf.
It's better than golf. It's way better than golf. Let's not go there.
Well, you said limited, like the activity part. I'm like, yeah, golf's sort of a sport. You're outside.
Yeah.
But it's interesting news. It's so maybe we'll have an esports beat eventually.
Yeah, if you know what, if you were a Boise State fan or if you are a Boise State person who happens to be a part of their esports team eventually, definitely contact us at MWCWire on Twitter.
Definitely, it gives a shout out, man. We'll chat you up. And one thing that would note, which is pretty cool on this, like it says here in the ESPN article, the NCAA does not have oversight However, the, like, organizations are exploring how competitive gaming impacts NCAA, which means, because people who play video games, like my little kid, he's still able to do this, but he'll watch YouTube. He'll watch, if people know who Dan TDM is, he watches all those videos all the time, people playing games, and people have Twitch accounts. You can get money. You can do, this is still in play if you're a esports attendee. What do you want to call it? Gamer? I don't know. But you can still make money doing this, so it's more like if you're a, like, what, who was it? Jeremy Bloom did for the Buffalo. So you got money for skiing on the Olympics, but yeah, played college exactly. football for Colorado. You could still make money, which is what you want to see, right? Exactly. Should we get to the football game, I guess, here? Football games, plural. It's also Friday night. Utah State taking on the Badgers of Wisconsin. Big Ten matchup. Oh, boy. This is going to be a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a top 10 team that, you know, even though the Big Ten is kind of rough and tumble with, you know, Ohio State and Michigan at the top, the Badgers are always in the mix, and this year is really no exception.
Very true. I chatted with Jake Kukurowski the other day from Bucky's Fifth Quarter for one of our other little podcasts, mini podcasts, I should say we do. Yeah, we went 35 minutes, so go listen to that if you want to get probably a little different perspective. But what he was talking about, they have a couple of things that stood out to me in our conversation. Four true freshmen on their depth charts, too deep. Their backup quarterback's a true freshman behind Austin Hornibrook. And so his big concern, like, we're all confident Utah State's not going to unfortunately win, as he figures the Badgers will. But if Hornibrook goes down, that could be a big issue for this team because they have a true freshman as a backup quarterback. And they also have a true freshman as, I guess, technically starting running back, because they have three deep as the tri-starters. So that's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I don't want to kind of get into the what if they get hurt game, because, you know, I think Hornibrook's probably going to be a pretty decent quarterback. Like, and I realize I'm talking about Wisconsin here. Like, they're not going to blow anybody away or anything like that. But if you watched the Cotton Bowl last year, you saw a guy who could play kind of within himself. And, you know, Wisconsin's never going to blow you away on, you know, through the air. But I think with the talent that he has in front of him, and especially behind him in the backfield, you know, Bradyck Shaw is probably going to be a pretty good running back this year for the Badgers. And so I kind of expect Utah State, you know, they're going to have, I think, a pretty solid defense. But I just kind of expect them to get worn down at some point in this game, because, you know, you're talking about a team with a lot of talent and a lot of size, especially on offense.
That's definitely the case. We didn't mention injuries. We were just mentioning something. I know you don't want to talk about it, but he's just having four on a team that people were saying could be a playoff team. Having four true freshmen on the two deep is a pretty big deal. And so that's what our conversation went around. Not saying, oh, if he gets hurt, but I guess they're good enough if they're on there for a reason if they're that good for true freshmen. They do have some injuries at the linebacker position, which are a pretty big deal. They have Zach Bond out for the year. And then also a couple weeks ago, who was it? Cinchy?
Jack Cinchy.
He was Cinchy. Would be like possibly one of the best linebackers in the Big Ten, gone for the year. They'll have a guy come up from behind him and play well, but two starters are gone. That may lead to some room where Utah State might be able to do something a little bit more on offensively. Particularly, let's just get to it now, the offense. David Yost, ultimate bro dude back there, being the OC, they're going to go three wide, four wide. They want to run 80 plays a game. Kent Meyer's arm is going to fall off after this game. They want to throw the ball a lot. And I think that could be a surprise effect they have against Wisconsin, but not enough to get a victory. But they might see some big plays to like Zach Van Leeuwen or Ontavian Tarver, and catch them off guard, because they usually don't see this type of offense. But that's about the most I could expect from this Aggies team, because – yeah, you have Tony Lindsay, and LaJuan Hunt running back. Offensive line loses 100 starts. That's a lot to ask for, replacing a line that wasn't even that good last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the new offense is all well and good, but I think what's going to make or break any kind of upset chance is whether they can get those chunk yards, because last year they were a little bit below average across the Mountain West Conference. Like, they only had 33 plays of more than 20 yards, which was, you know, tied for eighth in the conference, as far as through the air, rather. And I think if you want to be a pass-first team first, you have to do a little bit better as far as getting those big plays. And, you know, at least, you know, in looking, in reading through what they were able to do in fall camp and the scrimmages and stuff like that, I think that's still kind of the biggest question because, yeah, you know, Myers was able to complete a lot of passes, but they weren't for a lot of yards. And so if there's any change that I'm looking for between their last scrimmage and this game, that's going to be it.
Yeah, because I remember reading reports from spring practice where they're just chucking it downfield. But there's still going to be a team that Utah State historically, like if you go back to guys like Kerryn Williams, running back, a few other guys who are in the NFL. Who else is the running back? Yeah, Robert Turbin. Sorry, I'm thinking Bobby Wagner, the linebacker. No, like Robert Turbin with Seattle doing things where they're going to run the ball. They're going to want to run the ball as well. It's not going to be what Mike Leach does or teams going four or five wide. Think of it more of what Oregon does because he was at Oregon before where like LaMichael James back there and Marcus Mariota a little bit where, yeah, they're going to pass a lot, but they're going to do a lot of running as well and want to push teams around. So it's not just going to be four or five wide. They're going to side maybe be two backs and three wide receivers, but only five linemen. They're going to want to run the ball, but they got to do something because their offense was just 21 points a game last year, very stagnant, not very good. Obviously, it doesn't help Devontae Mays went out last year, but man, they got to do something to make it exciting and make plays. And if they can go downfield, they'll open up the running game. It's just, I think they're going to have to get the passing game going, then get the running game moving for this game because I don't see how they're going to really push around this Wisconsin defensive front.
Yeah, and I mean, to that end, if you look at the size of the dudes that Wisconsin has in their 3-4, you know, it's not listed right off the depth chart, but I can just kind of tell you, you know, they've got a guy right in the middle at nose tackle, Olive Sagapolu, who's, you know, 6'2" and 348 pounds.
Ooh.
And the guys who are slated to flank him at defensive end, you know, I believe, Alec James and Connor Sheehy are 270 and 290. So you're talking about ends who are as big as the offensive linemen who are going to be blocking. So, I mean, so, you know, even though they're losing, you know, stars in the linebacker crew, I fully expect them to have a pretty difficult time running the football against this front seven. You know, even though, you know, Ryan Connolly, who was a former walk-on, is going to be replacing a guy like Sitchi, you know, he's probably still going to get like 10 tackles or something like that in this game.
Probably in like four TFLs. Yeah, of course.
And I mean, Wisconsin wasn't great at forcing turnovers last year. So if Myers can take care of the football, I think that that gives them a chance to pull an upset. But I feel like that's kind of remote, all things considered.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen at all. Oh, we got the final injury report really quick. Hold on. From this, here's what they have officially for Wisconsin. Out, running back Tywan Dell, wide receiver Kendrick Pryor, George rushing wide receiver, fullback Jake Whalen, and then the same guys we mentioned out for the year, Jackson C., Zach Bond, and another linebacker, Mason Stoke. So there's your injury report for the Badgers this weekend. So this line on the game, because we need to wrap this up. We don't need this podcast to be 2 hours long here. Did you see what the opening line was in this game?
I don't remember what the opening line was, but I know what it has moved to.
It opened up as 37 in favor of Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's currently 27.5. Still a lot. What's even more intriguing is that it opened up as the opening, like the point spread, not point spread, but the over-under. 49, and now it's a 52.
Yeesh.
They're thinking like a crushing for Wisconsin here.
I mean, honestly, that's kind of what I see in this game. I feel like it's a bad matchup for the Aggies.
Of course. So what's your prediction? Because I have Wisconsin winning. Like, if Utah State's going to win, they're going to need short fields, Dallin Levitt, make it pick six, or Jalen Davis do something in the secondary to stop any sort of Badger offensive momentum. Short fields, easy points, and this offense just clicks day one, and they're just slinging across the field. But I don't see it happening. But I think talking to Jake, if it's a 21-point loss, I'm fine with that. And I'm probably going to go like 42-21 for Wisconsin.
Yeah, I would take Wisconsin in this game. I have it about 42-10.